That's the spirit.
Hello, Peter Lynham.
Hello there. How are you going today? Good. Looking forward to level 3?
I think we are. I think it's just everyone is sick of their own cooking. I think it's kind of...
Precisely.
That's where we're at.
But once we've indulged, we'll still remain nervous, I'm afraid. Yes.
If only there was like a contactless way that we could just make dinner for our direct next door neighbours, like somehow just put it out on the driveway.
Precisely. Well, I recall in the last lockdown we did quite a bit of that. Mm. Or was that in level 3 that we did the Anzac Day on the footpaths? I can't remember now.
Nor I.
Yes. Anyway. Mm. I, desperate for news on anything in the dullness of lockdown, was fascinated to watch two big names who passed away last week.
Peter, you're going to have to give me a fairly clear rundown of both these characters, because I'm not familiar with either of them.
Okay, no, you may not be, but they're both pretty intriguing and they are global figures.
How dare you, John, actually? Let me just come in there and just
don't
say.
Don't tease. You just move in the wrong circle. Now,
fair enough.
Pastor David Yonggi Cho, Korean evangelist, who visited New Zealand and Australia on occasions and ran the world's largest church with, guess how many people attended his church in Seoul?
2.8 million.
No, with slight exaggeration, but 830,000 people.
On a weekly basis?
Pardon?
On a weekly basis?
On the internet or actually there?
I think that was the overall membership.
Okay.
It was an enormous, enormous church building that had to have multiple services in a week. And it was famous for having a prayer tower which continually offered prayers for the conversion of the world. Yonggi Cho was a Pentecostal pastor who believed in dramatic signs and ministries and healings and the like. And he was incredibly influential when he came to Australia and New Zealand, particularly in Australia, leading to the real push of Pentecostals becoming a big force in Australian politics. Remember that we've had, the current Australian Prime Minister is in a church that was influenced by Yonggi Cho when he came to Australia in the 1980s. So that's at one end of the spectrum. Then at the other end of the spectrum is Bishop John Shelby Spong, American Anglican, or Episcopal as they're called in America, because Angle includes a bit of English, which I don't want to admit. After the Revolution, it wasn't exactly
right.
The style to have.
Right.
Who, moving from a fundamentalist background, joined the Anglican Church because he wanted to take a liberal view of Christian doctrine and made his name with a series of books, most famously Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism, which was a very, very popular book, sold a lot of copies. And he was famous or notorious, depending on your point of view, for his development of a 12-step thesis of liberal Christianity in which you understood that religion had to be redeveloped as a beautiful metaphor in which you didn't expect that it was about real events, but it was about symbolic experience. He came to New Zealand 3 times, very strong promoter of the right of LGBT people to have a full place in the church.
Oh, rad. Of the good ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Shit.
And so that was way ahead of when that sort of thing was acceptable in most other churches. In Australia, in fact, two parts of Australia. They banned him from speaking in Anglican churches, even though he was an Anglican bishop. So it's just intriguing when you think that Christianity increasingly heads down these two totally contrasting lines. And both of these two figures are, in a way, symbol of the divergent tracks that Christianity is taking in the present day and age.
It's interesting, like there's a market for both, obviously, right? There's enough people
to dig
all sorts of different things. So this is quite interesting.
Do you think that both of them had quite a profound impact when they visited New Zealand on local sort of church culture?
I think they fed into movements that were already there. I mean, New Zealand and Australia both had a strong Pentecostal movement from the mid-1960s. And so Yongi Cho had a following precisely because the people were already converted to the cause, but wanted to hear about spectacular success that was possible. And so, you know, the Yongi Cho formula of dramatic mega churches, you can see, has reflected on the way in which Brian Tamaki and Peter Mortlock and the like do church here in Auckland. It's very much influenced by that Yongi Cho approach to big, spectacular, but organized.
Are they always caught up in sort of dumb, sensational quotes in their neighborhood trying to get more kind of like freakishly religious people to...
Indeed.
So a little bit, there's this stage man type crap that goes on.
Yeah, that's right. It succeeds by the spectacular.
Yeah, right.
But don't scoff at the spectacular, because the spectacular pulls in people who have no sense of that there's anything happening.
I'm having similar flashbacks to the American presidency right now, a little bit.
Yes. I think that's a relevant statement in a way.
Yeah.
That we live in a world where personalities have to shape the way in which things happen.
I was just complaining to John a couple of days ago about how in New Zealand we're just kind of starting to embrace the fact that politicians need to be celebrities for some reason, and it's a really bad rabbit hole to go down.
Like Paula Bennett turning up on the game show.
Fucking do your job, man. I'll pat you on the back all day, you know. But
it's a strange thing.
Dancing with the Stars.
But you can see that the alternative has been, and Jacinda falls into this line very much as the sort of teacher. You know, you lecture the people about what it is, and you can see that does not appeal to everybody.
Right.
And so the alternative of kind of populist politics is really reflected in populist religion. And that was certainly, Yongi Cho did that vastly more successfully than Shelby Spong ever did.
Right.
But of course the difference was that Shelby Spong actually had his own new recipe of what religion should look like, whereas Yongi Cho effectively served up a kind of Koreanized version or an Asianized version of an existing formula.
Right. Both had pretty good innings, though. How old were they?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. So let's see. got their pages open. 1931 to 2021 is Spong, so that's 90 years.
That was a great last name, by the way.
And Yongi Cho, 1936 to 2021.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So do you think they both ticked the right boxes and both made it into heaven, Peter?
Well, there probably need to be different entrances, that's all.
I think before you get in, you first have to describe it, and then they decide where you go. Like, oh, shit.
Yes, they might each dispute the other's right to enter, I think.
Exactly. Oh, thanks for that interesting chat about the two sort of different, two very different aspects of religion. A couple of chaps that passed away. There you go.
Excellent. Very good.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Take care.
See you, mate.